Hey folks, it's John Orlando, and before you start listening to this episode of the PVD Cast, I want to just chat at you real quick about Stitcher Radio. I've been very vocal about being very proud to have the PVD Cast on Stitcher Radio, and if you're already listening to this particular episode on Stitcher Radio, you know I'm speaking the truth. You know how awesome it is. It is a free app that is easily downloadable to any tablet, any Android, any iPhone. And you can listen anytime, anywhere, even without Wi-Fi or cell connection. Stitcher is an award-winning app that brings you all the news, all the entertainment, all the wrestling, all the whatever you want to listen to. There's probably a podcast on Stitcher Radio for it. So folks, if you haven't already downloaded the app, go to Stitcher.com. They'll tell you where you can get it, or just go to your app store and download it. And then you'll be able to catch up on all of the podcasts that you love, even mine, the PVD Cast. So, with that being said, Stitcher Radio, it's the place to be, it's the place to get your podcasts. Go on over to Stitcher.com or check out your app store and download the app. And with that, thanks for listening to this edition, this new episode of the PVD Cast. All right, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I'm your host, John Orlando, bringing you the only podcast that's live and indirect from Providence, Rhode Island, via the capital city of Columbus, Ohio. But I'm actually not in Columbus. Actually, I am in eastern Ohio, in the fine, small, quaint little town of Wintersville, Ohio, hanging out with some friends and some family, because I was at the Pittsburgh Comic Book Convention this past weekend. It's actually September 28th. It's a Sunday. I'm sitting here in my cousin's kitchen with my friend, Dorian. Say hello, Dorian.
Hey there.
We all went to the con, and we all checked out all the stuff that's up there. And like I did last year, I just wanted to sit down and run down what happened. And Dorian, you said you wanted to come on and talk a little bit about your experience at the con, so we'll see how it goes here. My cousin refuses to come on. I don't know why. He must be mic shy. Because I don't think you can be camera shy when there's no camera here.
Mic shy works.
Yeah, I guess that works that way. So, anywho, but all right. So let's just start things off here. Dorian, what'd you think about the Pittsburgh Comic Con for this year?
It was a lot better than the other years. I know. I frequently, I would come out of that with nothing other than a sore back and sometimes sore feet, which, by the way, your announcer had a little bit of.
Yeah, well, you know, I think we all were a little bit tired there. In fact, you know, look, every year I say I'm going to do a podcast live, record one live from the Pittsburgh Comic Con. I say that every year. It never seems to happen, because usually, inevitably, we run long, and it's 3:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and, you know, people are tired and sore and want to get out of there, and, you know, this is not a quick procedure for me to do. You know, I got to set things up and find a place to set things up and get people to come on and talk to folks, of which I don't think I would have a problem at the con, because there's lots of artists out there who are independent in nature and who would probably love to come on here and chat about comics and pop culture stuff and whatnot. But anyways, yeah, so, you know, it's a long day. It is a long day, isn't it?
Yes, but it was a good day. Okay. I myself was looking for some comic books there. I don't know if any of you have ever heard of Shadow Pact, but it was an interesting idea that I thought I got two of them last year, and it took me almost all day. And I'm talking from 11 o'clock up until 3 or 4, with a break in there for lunch, of course. But this year, I went along and looked through all these comic books, and I found one. And when the owner of that stall saw me take that out, he said, "Oh, that one." And I got both books that I wanted right away. That was my best experience ever at that Comic-Con.
One thing, too, is that my friend that has been a guest on this podcast many times, Bauman, came up from D.C., and he actually also was looking for some Shadow Pack stuff. But what is, fill us in, what is the Shadow Pack?
Well, I haven't
It's
started.
A DC comic, correct?
It is a DC comic that has, that I've heard on like Wikipedia and that they call it like the magic or the occult version of JLA. There's a lot of occult stuff, magic stuff going on, and especially if any of you are familiar with DC, with the storyline of the Spectre trying to get rid of all magic, that figured prominently. Also, the revolt in Hell, yes, Hell, in the comic books of the Demon. If any of you are familiar with that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah, sure, sure. You know, those are two obscure characters, but I think they're interesting characters, and I think most people out there, if they're fans of comics, they've probably heard of those individuals, the Spectre and the Demon. So right off the bat, you were successful in picking up two things you wanted.
Yeah, and I actually got two more. Phantom Stranger, which a lot of you might have heard of. His name's Mainstream.
I will freely admit, I was not familiar with the Phantom Stranger.
Oh, sorry.
I'm not. So describe what the Phantom Stranger is. Now, I know he dates back to the 60s, because we had a conversation last night about how lame the 60s were. But so what exactly is the Phantom Stranger?
What's a Nubian?
There's Jim! He appeared on the podcast! What about that?
One-time showing.
That's right. Now this podcast is a historic episode. And thanks for the Chasing Amy reference, too.
The what?
The Chasing Amy reference.
Right.
Anyways.
Basically, he's kind of mysterious. Even at the very beginning of the stories, he tends to be... You don't know what he is. In fact, they keep on saying whether he's a fakester. I know better, because I've read a lot of the other stuff he's done. He's a very powerful entity for which there are four origins. Best thing you can do... You don't want me to go into all the four different... Because I only know, like, one or two of them. Look it up online on Wikipedia.
Okay, wait.
As much as you can trust Wikipedia.
So, no, wait. Is the Phantom Stranger, like, more, like, supernatural? Is that his powers? Is he more supernatural? Is he more, you know, like, just a regular old Joe that has, like, mad fighting skills? Like, I don't... What's his shtick, if you will?
Well, my own personal theory, the one that I stick to the most... He's very supernatural because, well, for any of you into Milton, he might be that angel that revolted and then came back. That's one of them. That's my favorite theory. But he's gone to alternate universes, alternate dimensions. He helped Batman, if you believe this, help save an alternate Batman's parents. If you're familiar with Batman's story, you all know that most of them, they die.
Right. Which,
they don't in this one, because Batman saves them.
You're stepping on my fave for the end of this podcast. But never mind. Sorry. Go on. That's fine. By the way,
Stepping on him.
I would like to highlight that you have now made this not only the most historic podcast ever because my cousin is on it, but also... You've now just elevated the intellectual abilities here by mentioning Milton. I don't believe that fine author will ever be mentioned ever again on this podcast.
Sorry.
Nicely done.
I get into that, though.
No, that's...
For all of you into Milton, though, say otherwise.
Well, I'm just saying that, you know, people right now are like, wait a minute, John talks about comics, hockey, movies, and wrestling? What? Milton? What? Anyways, Anywho, alright, so you scored a bunch of stuff. I picked up a couple of things myself. I'll just talk briefly about them. One of them was I was looking for the collection of X-Force, did a storyline called Sex and Violence, which was very well received by critics and by many of my friends. So it interests me. I found it relatively cheap for $5. Actually, the hardcover version of it. I also picked up a very odd book that I was looking forward to, and I got it for $7, so I wasn't too heartbroken to get rid of it. I know. Oh, man. I'm sorry to interrupt. My cousin is now showing me the front page of the local newspaper, which I gotta... Okay, I'm gonna digress for a minute. I am heartbroken over the fact that Congressman Jim Trafficant has passed away. Jim Trafficant was a colorful character in Congress. Wrestling fans should love him because many of his speeches on the floor of Congress was like a wrestling promo. He was goofy, strange.
Hair.
He had bad hair, which was a toupee. It was never on. He always looked like disheveled, like he had slept in his suit the night before and then just showed up in front of Congress. Colorful guy. Maybe not the most honest fella. All right. But still, nonetheless, he passed away yesterday, and I'm deeply saddened because, you know, I think that Congress needs more colorful characters. I really do. I think Congress would be get much more done if you had individuals who were, I don't know, ballsy and maybe a little bit off kilter. I think we'd get more done, but I digress. Deeply saddened by the passing of Jim Trafficant. Okay, so I was talking about what I bought, correct? Is that what I was talking? Yeah, okay, that's what I was talking about. So I picked up a book called ADD, which I forget what it stands for. It's an acronym, but it's written by Douglas Rushkoff, who is a he's a media watchdog guy. He's the guy that's out there going, hey, you know, you have five conglomerates that run 95% of, you know, the media in the world. You should be aware of this. He did a fascinating documentary many years ago called Merchants of Cool, where he talked about all the different cross-promotion and how teenagers are blatantly marketed to throughout the entire their entire existence. He's a smart dude, and he wrote this comic that, you know, it's a dystopian society where, you know, children are marketed towards, and there's evil corporations and whatnot. So that'd be interesting.
Like reality.
And there you go. Like second. Reality. Second time Jim has shown up on the podcast. Anyways,
Dan Dildo must go.
Thanks. You can obviously tweet your displeasure at me for my cousin's comments by simply going to Twitter and going to @PBDMVP, or if you'd like to shoot an angry email over his anti-DC Comics rant, feel free to shoot me an email.
Marvel Now sucks too. Fuck the
You can send all angry complaints to johnorlando@pvdcast.com. See, you said this wasn't going to be fun. Anywho, I digress. Let's get back on track, shall we? Okay, so I picked up a couple other miscellaneous things, one of which, by the way, I don't know if I should mention, but I picked up a bootleg wrestling DVD. I don't know if I should mention that. But it's an old Coliseum home video release from the WWF, I think 1986 or 1985. It's like most bizarre matches. Oh, it's awesome. It's got a battle royal. It's got a lumberjack match. You know, it's good stuff. I'll be giving all of you a blow-by-blow detail when I watch it here on later on.
Speaking of old Fleetwood Mac on tour.
Hey, don't you be saying about Fleetwood Mac.
Uh-oh.
Come on, them, the Stones, every damn one of them was on tour. They're all in their early hundreds.
And they're still doing it, which is amazing. Hey, as an aside, and I know we're getting off the track again, but I saw a Fleetwood Mac concert, and it was great. The girlfriend I was with also liked Fleetwood Mac, so there you have it.
Okay, all right, well, anyways, back to the Comic-Con. All right, as a side note, so anything you disliked about this year's show? Dorian, got anything you disliked?
Well, the problem was I got those books so early, I had to go look around for stuff. But other than that, it was great. That was not a bad point because I was expecting to go be there up until the final moment looking for that last book that I needed. But I found it. And the only bad thing was, when after walking, I tend to get a bad back.
Yeah, that's well, okay. I mean, yeah, right. You know,
the only bad experience.
You can talk about it. The local comic book store that we went to.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
sorry, I was whispering there, folks. That's but fine. We went to Ides, and it was as disappointing as the last few years. And I'll speak for Jim. He thought it was disappointing, too.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. Like, Ides is a comic book shop in Pittsburgh. It's in downtown Pittsburgh. It's three floors. You know what? I'll probably get flack for this, but it seems like their inventory hasn't changed much in 3 years. It looks like they have kind of shuffled things around. I felt like the store was disorganized.
Yeah.
When we walked in, it was like, well, we have this stuff now down here on this floor. Things are up there. CDs are gone. I don't, you know, I mean, they're not there, which that used to be a bread and butter. There seem to be, like, movies on three or two floors rather than just one floor. It just seems like, I don't know, Ides is, it's going downhill a little bit, and I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings by saying that. I just think it's the truth. It's just not quite the same store that it used to be, mm-hmm. You know. And I don't know what the deal is. I agree with you. That was going to be my negative. I was going to share that our stop after the con was a little bit dismal.
I agree. Compared to the con, yeah.
Yeah, compared to the con, yeah. You know, I know Bauman, a friend of mine, was real happy to get some autographs. He managed to score an autograph of Wayne Foucher and Andy Harden and George Perez. And who else did he get?
I don't know.
I forget. Huh?
Huh?
Mike Grau.
Oh, Mike Grau. Thank you. All right. There we go. Some other...
And a sketch from Neil Vokes.
And a sketch from Neil Vokes. All right. And also Bill... who was the main attraction, and I can never pronounce his last name correctly.
Bill Sienkiewicz.
Thank you, Jim. Bill Sienkiewicz.
There will be a quiz later on how to spell it. None of you will get it right.
No, nobody will. No one. Yeah, exactly. It's one of those strange last names.
Slavic. There's like Slavic?
500 there you
vowels.
go. 500 vowels.
And Z's no. And Y's. And
incorrect.
And Y's and all kinds of.
No, incorrect. Consonants. They're called consonants. You try pronouncing five consonants in a row.
Yeah, you know what? Okay, here, folks at home, here's how it's spelled. Sienkiewicz. Which, again, incredibly, incredibly challenging to say. But he was actually the guest of honor. He's done so many... comics, you know, I guess most people know him from his run on Moon Knight in the 80s. Yeah, you know, he was had a very, very long run on that, and that's where he made his bread and butter. But he's been around for years, you know, for 30 some odd years, doing some great work. And so my buddy Bauman was really happy to get autographs from all those folks. Yeah, overall, I thought it was a great con. I thought, you know, they had an amazing line for, who was it? Guest Paul McGann, who was one of the Doctor Who doctors. There was a huge line, and there was a lot of Eighth Doctor.
I think it's the Eighth Doctor.
And there was a large conglomerate of people dressed up as Doctor Who characters, with scarves and fez and sonic screwdrivers and whatnot in their
Tom
possession.
Baker among them the most.
What do you mean?
Dressed up like Tom Baker.
Oh, yeah, sure, yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
He's my favorite.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, in the back section, because there's a front section and there's a back section to the Monroeville Convention Center, which is in suburban Pittsburgh. In the back section, we discovered that, for you wrestling fans there, you might remember former WCW and ECW wrestler Johnny Swinger was there. He's involved in some independent film, and he was there. And while I was getting a button made, he was quite humorous. He was... kind of giving it to some people that would pass by, like just poking fun at them and whatnot. Like, for an example, he asked the lady who was wearing a Doctor Who scarf why she was wearing a scarf, and she tried to explain it was to, quote, pay tribute to the doctor, and he said, well, why do you need to go see a doctor? Ba-dum-bum, you know, and she tried to explain it, and he kept playing dumb, but eventually he revealed that it was all a swerve. He knew who Doctor Who was, so.
He doesn't.
Well, I don't know. I think Doctor Who is popular anymore. Let me That's just tell you. Yeah, it's vastly popular. Much more popular than it was, say, like when I was in high school. Because I had one friend that knew who Doctor Who was and watched Doctor Who on PBS.
I did too.
Yeah.
Channel 25 up there in Cleveland.
Yeah.
WVIZ, if any of you are up from there.
So, well, hey, let me tell you something, Dorian. I don't want to brag, but I got listeners all over the state of Ohio. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay,
I'm
that
sure
was...
you do. With a podcast like this, that you can't help but be loved.
Hey, what can I say?
I
I guess the biggest news out of the con, by the way, which I didn't discover until we got back here last night, is that for quite a few years, well, since 1994 to, I believe, if I remember correctly, 2005 or 2006, the con was always at the Expo Mart. Then, in 2006, they, for whatever reason, moved the con, the Pittsburgh Comic Con, to the Monroeville Convention Center, and has been there since, say, I looked it up, it was 2005 that they moved. So since then till now, they've been there. But they've just announced in the back of the program that next year, in 2015, the Pittsburgh Comic Con is going to downtown Pittsburgh at the David L. Lawrence Convention Center. Okay, we've had a long, lengthy debate here on whether this is good or bad. So, Dorian, your thoughts?
I'm uncertain. I'll stay on the fence, as painful as that might be.
I think a clusterfuck.
You got Jim's opinion there.
There you go. Jim says clusterfuck.
I'm not going to call it that, because maybe they're trying to make a bold move.
Yeah.
But, on the other hand, they could be getting pretentious. Like trying to live up to something like, say, the bigger Comic Cons around, which they didn't need to be. I mean, we had Stan Lee in years, not this year, but we had Stan Lee come to that. How much more pretentious do you need to be?
We had Gigi Edgley this year. I mean, come on, what the hell?
That's true too. And although I have not seen Farscape lately, I think my friend Jim there, who just interrupted, is going to show me some Farscape. We'll see how that goes.
My
whole thing about this, I'm ambivalent.
I'm going to agree with my cousin, and I'm also going to agree with you as well, because I think, okay, on one hand, for those that don't know, the David L. Lawrence Convention Center is on the western side of downtown. It's right next to PNC Park. It's down the street from Heinz Field. With that being said, there's not a lot of ample parking. So more than likely, you're going to pay to park next year, which I think is kind of crappy. I think that that's going to be a big negative, is that you're going to have to pay to park. I think also some of the traffic down there could be problematic as well, especially if the Pirates are still playing, because PNC Park's right there. I think that that's going to be a problem. Maybe even if there's a football game for the University of Pitt, or if the Steelers are playing at Heinz Field. I mean, it's not that far down the street that there could be some issues as well. However, I agree with you, Dorian. I think that this, if they're going to try to make a move and make it bigger, and make it more over the top, and compete with, say, obviously you're never going to compete with Comic-Con in San Diego. I mean, that's not happening. But if you're going to try to compete with Philadelphia, with Detroit, with maybe New York City, you got to make a bigger venue, because David L. Lawrence Convention Center is huge. It's massive. I'll be honest, I haven't been there since 1999. That was the last time I've been in that building. And that was before they renovated it, because they ECW ran a show there. I believe a TV taping from that particular venue, and I went. But that was, 15 years ago. And I know that they've plunked a lot of money into it to build it up and to have events there. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting next year to see what happens with the con.
I agree. I'm looking forward to it and dreading it. So, and Jim has given the thumbs down.
The thumbs down on that.
Okay.
And now, what's the middle finger for? Now, wait a minute. What's the middle finger for?
Same thing.
No. Same deal.
Well, we all know how Jim feels about it.
Here's the funny part. He didn't want to even do this, but yet he continues to come in here and interject and make you...
sort of like Sheldon, Mike. I'm,
Hey, now.
Okay.
Time for you to go, John.
Yeah. Anyways.
I'm kidding, Jim.
Anyways. So, but overall, good deal. Came home. I got introduced into, reintroduced, because it's been like 10 years or maybe even longer. Played a game, Cosmic Encounters, correct?
Cosmic Encounter, no S.
Oh, I'm sorry, it's singular, Encounter. Anyways, and had a good time with that, but do you want to explain what the game's a little bit like?
Either one of you? Well, I heard an interesting analogy for that game. It's a game of rules, as you can expect a game to have, but you have pop or alien races, and now they include human now.
I'm going to interrupt and do the Big Lebowski shtick of, there are rules, this is not NOM, this is bowling, there are rules. I'm sorry, go ahead, carry on.
Good one. The rules, but each of your alien powers allows you to break the rules in certain ways. You have to play it, though, to get that out of it. Basically, it's a game of alien domination of the universe. You can play, in this one, with three players, we play two different alien races that can combine together to try to take over. And I do mean try to take over, because last night did not go well for Dorian here.
No, it didn't go well at all. But
it involves a lot of strategy and knowing when to do certain things. We found that out in a plethora.
So would you consider this to be like a role-playing game? How is this actually defined?
Not a role-playing game, because I played those.
What do you say? Seriously, like, is it kind of like a... I mean, I don't know. It's hard to describe it. Like, that's why I let
you... It's unique.
It's a unique... Yeah, it's like a board, but it's got a little element of role-playing in it, and a little element of... Like, it's got a lot of different things in there.
That's true.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to describe, but it was actually really fun, and I think... I'm going to toot my own horn. I think I caught on pretty quick to it.
Yeah,
not the second game.
And
you know,
games were close.
Yeah, they were close.
I mean, the second game, we were tied for most of it.
Right. Nobody got their clock clean, so...
No, we didn't. And it's an interesting game. I've always been playing with Jim here. That through the years, we had... There was one time, though, we had a whole bunch of people playing, like six. But it's gone down a little bit because of attrition of people coming. They have their own lives, that kind of stuff. That happens. I'm kind of glad that John Orlando here came here for that, because we finally had a chance to do three players. There are two-player rules, but they're limited. It's a lot more fun with six people, trust me. Try getting it and playing it and having fun with it. I'm trying to get more fun out of it, because before I was a little bit competitive because I tended to lose. I wanted to win at least a few times.
So, real quick, though, that's an interesting question. Where do you get this at? You have to get it online, wouldn't you? You have to order it online,
well,
I presume?
Well, it's from Fantasy Flight Games. So you could get it from there, or you could get it from Amazon.
Oh, okay, so it's available on Amazon. Okay, yes. All right, so if you're listening out there and you're like, that sounds like something cool, I'd like to get a cool sci-fi board / role-playing / card game, whatever... Check it out, Cosmic Encounter. Plug that into Amazon. You can find it there. Because I'm saying you can't find that at like Toys R Us. Yeah, you can't go down the game aisle and go,
Google,
hey.
Google it, might yield more results.
Sure, of course. The magic of Google. Phenomenal. Anyways. All right, any closing notes, you two, about the Comic-Con? It's we're getting up to about a half hour here, so I'm going to kind of start wrapping things up. Any final thoughts?
It was very good.
It was good.
And I found what I was looking for once.
I'm happy that they're going to keep in September, because it used to be in April. I love September.
It's much better. Cause,
yeah, weather's tough.
Let's just say certain people didn't like the coldness of April.
Yeah, well, no. I mean, like, no, let's be honest. In early April, it's usually still kind of cold and chilly and rainy.
And rainy, yeah.
Yeah, and...
And sometimes snow.
And in Ohio, you know, in September, it's still pretty good weather, you know? And especially next year, if they move it up to, as they claim that they're moving it up to...
September
the weekend,
11th,
12th, and 13th. Yeah, so, I mean, we'll still have better weather there.
Yeah.
Hopefully, the convention center will cancel their reservations, and they'll have to keep it where it is.
Well,
that's your... Jim's opinion. Dorian's opinion is... Give it a chance.
Well, we'll wait and see. Well, it's going to be either a big success or an epic failure. One of the
epic
two.
Fail.
Somewhat in between.
Somewhat in between. Okay. Well, with that being said, it's a time here, since you two are not familiar with, I always like to end the show with Orlando's faves. And what that is it's something... Wait a minute. Yeah, there's the music. All right, so basically... It's something that I like to explain that I think is cool and share it with everyone. All right? Okay. So, unfortunately, what I am going to share in my fave, you two have not yet watched, I know, but my fave for this podcast, comic book related, is the Fox show Gotham. I watched the first episode on DVR because I was not around on Monday, so DVR'd it, sat down and watched it. And, you know, it's getting a lot of hype, but the hype is worth it. It was actually very well done. And I was a little bit leery of probably, I'd say, Ben McKenzie first playing the role of Jim Gordon, because let's be honest, that guy has done, well, you know, he was on the OC, for Christ's sakes, let's just say it, okay? You know, so how good is his acting going to be? But okay, you know what? He's pulling it off, and I look forward to watching Gotham for the rest of the year, and I think it's going to be a good show. So there you have it. I know you can't comment because you two haven't seen it. Sorry.
Well, I could comment a little bit. I had heard that that was coming on. I thought it was an interesting idea to do it just after Batman's parents get killed. Almost everyone knows that storyline.
Spoilers!
Spoiler. Thomas and Martha Wayne die. Anyways, go ahead.
Sorry. To those I spoiled that, I apologize.
Next, you're going to say who Luke's father is. Jesus Christ.
Wait.
Good one.
Luke's father's Jesus Christ? What?
He might have thought he... No, let's not go into that.
Hey, wait a minute. As a quick question, in the 66 series, they never talked about Thomas and Martha, did they? Or did they?
No, that would be a downer.
I was going to say, they never talked about that. All right. Well, we'll have to wait and see.
Sorry to interrupt you, no, Mr. Randall. Ahead. But I saw Jada Pinkett Smith being interviewed for that. And I think it might have been on... No, might have been... here you go again with another show I watch sometimes with my parents. Kelly and Michael Strahan show.
Oh, live with Regis.
Well, not Regis anymore.
Yeah, Kelly and Michael.
Right. I think they were interviewing Jada Pinkett Smith, and I thought it was a great thing for her because she's finally doing something away from her hubby.
Yeah, sure. Well,
she might have done other things, but this she's going to be known for it. I mean, she plays a real nasty gangster.
She does. She does a pretty good job of it, too, I gotta say.
Beyond that, I'm looking forward to watching it here eventually.
All right.
I don't know if I'll watch it at home. I don't watch much TV.
Okay.
But I give it a chop.
I think it's going to be... I was on the fence about it, I will just freely admit, and I gave it a go because my cousin Jim said he's read very good things about it. It's gotten great reviews. So I'm like, okay, I'll give it a shot. DVR'd it, and I'm impressed, and hopefully it continues to be as impressive as the first episode. So, all right, with that then, gentlemen, here we go. I'm going to wrap things up. Hey, if you need to get in touch with me, there's two different ways you could do it. As I mentioned previously, you can check me out on Twitter by going to @PVDMVP. If you'd like to shoot me a quick email or a long email, it doesn't matter. You can head on over to johnorlando@pvdcast.com and fire over an email. And let me know what you think of this episode. Let me know what you think of past episodes. Folks, let's just keep going. Keep going to pvdcast.com, listening, enjoying it. I hope you found this one entertaining. Thanks, you two, for being on.
You're welcome.
What's a Nubian?
All right, with that, ladies and gentlemen, I will chat at each and every one of you later. Thanks for listening, folks.